Okay, Os Chaf Aleph. Okay, so last time we were learning about how a person who is able to elevate himself above his body is able to recognize that the whole world is filled with the presence of Hashem. I mean, we create this disconnect sometimes that there's a God somewhere out there and then there's people down here and we have to do certain things to make God happy. But the truth of the matter is that if we train our eyes properly, we're able to see that all of physicality is just an expression of Hashem. And to not see this constant struggle that my body wants one thing and my neshama wants something else, but to try to align the pieces of my existence. Okay, so he writes in Os Chaf Aleph. Va'ava'er lecha ata. Now I will explain to you, Chavivi Asher Kanafshi, my beloved friend, who I love like my own soul. Inyan ze mahu hakara. What is this concept, he says, that I mentioned earlier called hakara? Shia'adti lecha le'el osyun beiz levar heitem, which I promised you earlier I was going to explain. What does the word hakara literally mean? Hakara means to recognize. But he mentioned earlier in the 12th paragraph in osyun beiz, he said that if you look in certain early Jewish philosophical works, they talk about hakara chazaka or hakara chalusha, strong recognition, weak recognition. So what is strong recognition? What is weak recognition? What does it mean to really recognize God? What does it mean to not have such a clear picture of Hashem? So he says, and in doing so, I'm going to explain to you a cryptic Gemara, which he's not going to explain tonight, so I'm going to skip to the end of the next paragraph. To the beginning of the next paragraph. Okay, he quotes this Gemara in Shabbos. We'll come back to the Gemara. He's not going to explain it tonight, so we'll skip it for now for the sake of time, and we'll come back to it in the right place. Okay, but he says it's coming up. Okay, but he says, let me explain this concept of hakara, different degrees of recognition. Right, meaning, how well do you know someone? So Armando, I've known for a while now. So now, if I see Armando from a distance, immediately I can recognize him, even if it's dark. I say, oh, I recognize his walk, I recognize his appearance, I recognize. Right, you see someone else, Menachem, who I don't know as well. Right, so it could be I'll see you tomorrow. I apologize if this happens. And I won't recognize you because it's a new face and you may not recognize me. So it takes time to come to a recognition where I can right away identify what I'm looking at. So there are certain spiritual things you look at right away. You say, oh, that's a holy thing. You look at a bottle of Hal's New York seltzer water, lemon. Yeah, 0 calories. I've seen this brand before. I recognize the logo. Right? If it said, Johnny's New York seltzer water, I'd say, no, it's not Johnny. I recognize this. This is not Johnny's. This is Hal's. This is Hal's New York seltzer water. Right? But I don't know it so well. I'm not so familiar with it. And when I look at it, do I see something godly? I don't know. I see a sefer. I see godliness. I see a sefer Torah. I see a tefillin. I see a sitter. I see a Jew. I see a bottle of seltzer. Do I immediately translate that into, oh, this is a holy thing? This is something that Hashem created? Not so obvious. Okay, so let's try to understand the process of hakara, of recognition. Va'inyan hu. Okay, the next paragraph. Va'inyan hu. The matter is as follows. Ki yesh chachma ubina v'das b'chol davar. Chabad. Chachma, bina, and das. What is chachma? What is bina? What is das? We're going to get a very basic explanation of these terms that appear very often in Sifrei Chassidus. L'mashol mi shechoshek livnos lo beis dira. Let's use an example of a person who desires to build a house. Machshava harishona bechlala nikres chachma. His first thought, the beginning of the idea, the first moment where he entertained the possibility of building a house, that's called chachma. Shehi mechuna liyud. It's compared to a yud. Of all of the letters, of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Yud is the smallest letter. If I was drawing any letter, the second I took my pen and I touched down on the paper and I made the tiniest drop of ink, if I were to ask you what letter did I just draw, that tiny dot, you said the only letter it could be is a Yud. It's not a Kof, not a Dalet, not an Aleph. Right? That first dot, that first drop of ink, which looks like a tiny little Yud, is called Chachma. It's the beginning of an idea. Shehi rak nekuda. It's a point which needs to be clearly worked upon and expanded and broadened. It's golem levad. It's like raw potential. So I have this idea, I want to build a house. I don't know anything about the house. I don't know what material it's made out of. I don't know where it's located. I don't know how many bedrooms and bathrooms. I don't know anything about it. I just have this idea. I want to build a house. It's that light bulb effect, that, you know, that flash in your mind of, I have this idea. Describe your idea. I can't describe it yet. It's still too raw. It doesn't have any form yet. I haven't expanded the idea. V'achar kach yishemaschil laharchiv machshavto v'havanas libo lakan v'lakan. So then when he begins to broaden his mind and he starts to expand the idea this way and that way, u'marchiv ha'machshav l'kol tzad, and now the bias starts to take on a shape. How big is this house? What is it made out of? Right? I start to expand it in each of the directions. Im ba'ofen zeh yehabayis o ba'ofen zeh. Is it going to look like this? Is it going to look like that? Is it going to be a split-level home? Is it going to be an apartment? Is it going to be a mansion? What's it going to look like? Shehu nikra begashmius orech verochav. In the physical world, we call this length and width. Right? You're giving dimensions. Again, what started off as just an abstract idea now has measurements. There's a blueprint for the house. I've expanded what this... Can I live in the blueprint? You can't live in the blueprint. But at least I have a sense of the dimensions, what it's going to look like, what types of materials. V'hakol al machshava rishona shu livnos beis dira. And this is being built on that first drop of an idea. This is hey. V'zehu hey. This is the letter hey. Now think about this. In God's name, we start with a yud, and then we move on to a letter hey. And Hashem's most basic yud kei vav kei, we start with a yod, which means we start with this chachma, this dot of an idea, and then we have a hey. Now look at the letter hey, you see an amazing thing. He's about to explain it. He says a hey is a dalid on top of a yod. Think about the way that we draw a hey in a Sefer Torah. It's a dalid on top of a yod. What does that mean, a dalid on top of a yod? What does dalid represent? What does four represent? Four represents the four different directions. North, south, east, west, right? Expansion in all directions. In fact, the Dalit has one line going this way and one line going that way. So it's expanding, it looks like, right? It's expanding upon the width and the length. And it's on top of the letter Yud. When you make a hey, it's a Dalit on hovering over a Yud, because again, Yud is sort of that starting point, that's the kernel of the idea. And the Dalit represents the what? The expansion of that idea. Okay? An amazing thing. You see how even the shape of the letters reveal to us something deep about the letters. Okay? V'zehu ha-nikra ha-havana shebelev, and this deepening of an understanding of the heart is called aim. It's called mother. Think about the relationship between a husband and wife, a father and a mother, in the production of a child. The man, what does he provide? He provides a tiny drop of seed, of zera, right? He provides a small drop which will fertilize the woman's egg. And then what started off as this tiny, tiny drop of life is going to now, within the mother, develop and develop and develop and develop and develop. Until 9 months later, that tiny drop of zera has become a child with a brain and with a heart and with fingernails and with arms and with eyes. And it's unbelievable. So the chachma, that first bit of an idea, that letter yud, represents that little drop of semen, that small drop of seed, the potential to fertilize that egg. And then it's the mother, the aim, the mother who actually nurtures the baby and brings the baby into, you know, from potential into something real. So that's yud and hey. Yud represents av, the father, and hey, which again, hey we're understanding as dalid, expansion in directions. Yeah? Cross and down, on top of a yud, that letter hey represents the mother, who's going to take the potential for something and make it into something real. That's why sometimes men have very lofty, you know, these lofty ideas, and their wives are like much more like, you know, this guy like has these big plans, how he's got this great business idea, and his wife's like, let's like think this through a little bit more carefully. Right? She grounds her husband. Her husband's like the letter Yud is literally floating. It doesn't even rest on the line. It's the only letter of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis that floats in the air. So a man has all these big hasagos, right? When you're a bacher, especially before you're married, you have all these ideas of what you're going to do. Then you meet a woman, you settle down a little bit, right? I would call marriage settling down. Because it literally, it's settling down. It's taking this, these lofty hasagos, and now it's giving them a bias, giving them a tzura. Right? The man is intimate with his wife, he's mashpia the zera, and then for the next 9 months, she works on it to make it into something. And so the man represents that raw potential, and the woman, the letter hey, a dalet on top of a yud, represents the development of that idea. Okay, let's keep reading. Ki ha'av shehi ha'machshava shehu ha'chachma nosein ha'tipa. Again, using this mashal of creation of a child, the father, which is that letter yud, which is the machshava, which is chachma. The way the Sfarim explained chachma, look at the letters. Chachma, the same letters as koach ma. Koach, the energy, the koach, the strength, the energy of ma, of something. Ma means something. We don't know what it is yet. Right? Chachma is very raw. It's koach ma. It's the potential for something. So the father is mashpia. A tipa, a small drop of seed. Shehi machshava hagolmis levad. It's the raw idea. It's the undeveloped idea. V'nelem ba eichya habayis banoi. So now, transitioning back and forth between the creation of a child and the building of a house, right? It's like the idea, I want to build a house. I can't tell you how many rooms it has. I can't tell you what material it's made out of. I can't tell you anything about it. Ha-havana hi ke'em. The havana, the expansion of the idea is like the mother, who's nosenes betipa tsura, lasos betsura nachona, who takes that drop of seed, and now it starts to look like a baby, it looks like a human. The drop of seed didn't look like anything. Vapsoles docha lachutz, and the mother, through that nurturing ability, through that process called bina, of understanding, of deepening a connection, it knows how to drive away the psoles. Pushes away that which is what? Psoles means what? The waste matter. That part which is not supposed to be held on to. Kacha havana mechasheves umevina shemuchach lios kein velo kein. So to the process of bina on an intellectual level is the process of what? This should be. I have this great idea. I want to build a house. So I have all these crazy ideas. And I said, well, hold on a second. I have a budget. Right? There's certain materials that are better based on where I live. The type of insulation I'm going to need, depending on the climate in which I live. And I start to say, well, this needs to be in the house. This would be cool, you know. That huge, like, gumball machine at the entrance of the house would be cool, but, like, that's not the most important thing to spend money on, right? So you start to make more educated choices. A bathroom we need, yeah. The pool table in the basement, like, it's fun, but we don't need that. So you start to decide, what do I need, what do I not need? There's a process of what? Of biror, of clarifying. V'zehu ha'avana shemeivin davar mitoch davar. Bina is always referred to as the ability to be meivin davar mitoch davar. Which means what? To understand something from something else. It's not just a raw idea anymore. It's not this abstract idea. What's it going to cost to do this? How am I going to do it? Who's going to actually build the house? What types of materials is it made out of? Right? I'm going to pay money to get a blueprint drawn up. Again, I can't live in the blueprint, but at least I have a really clear picture of what this house will look like. It's not abstract anymore. I've got measurements, I've got dimensions, I've got dates, I've got costs. Machma shetzarech bayis ladur, muchrach lios kach psachim v'kach halonos. It needs to have this many doors, it needs to have this many windows. V'kach orech v'kach rochav. This is the length, this is the width. I start to expand the idea. And I start to say, ah, this is a good idea. Why don't we build the kitchen in this way? And then I backtrack and think, no, that's not actually the best way. Let's draw it up again. Let's do a different design. Let's experiment with a more open concept in this house. All right? It's not good like this, better like this. And this is called Havana. Okay? So again, level one is called Chachma. Level two is called Bina. Chachma is the raw idea, the burst of inspiration, but you can't do it. It's totally unrefined. Bina is the nurturing, the development, the expansion of the idea, like the mother who, again, takes that drop of seed and makes it into a child. And that's the letter Hey, which we're understanding as a Dalid on top of a Yud. Dalid being the four directions of the world, the Yud being that first drop of an idea. U'lefizeh, therefore, im einei seicha lecha. If your mind's eye is working properly, if you're a deep thinker, Tavin inyan chachma usvuna vedas shenemar b'Hashem yisbach. Why in Sefer Mishlei does it talk about Hashem's what? Chachma, tvuna, and das. He says if you're a deep thinker, you understand that God also works in some type of process of chachma, bina, and das. Shenivra behena olam. And it was through that process that Hashem created the world. But I don't want to get distracted, he says, to explain that. But if you think about it, and you study Sefer Mishlei, you'll understand there's a concept of chachma, bina, and das even by Hashem. Let's just add a little bit to what he's saying. He doesn't want to get distracted, but I want to get distracted for a minute. So let's get distracted for a minute. How did Hashem create the world? How did Hashem create the world?
Saying things?
Hashem created with speech. Okay. Interesting. Hashem created with speech. Okay. So that's already an interesting idea, right? For us to create something, we can't just say it. Saying it is part of the development of the idea, right? I have an idea in my mind. Can't really talk about it yet because I don't know what it is. Talking about it by us, I would say, is more like bina, to be able to give it some design, to talk out different concepts. And then lamaisa, when I build it, that's das. But Hashem also went through a process when he was creating the world. The way he described bina, where first you have an idea, and then you change it. You say, we need to have, the door should be here. No, you know what? Actually, the door should be here. Right? Oh, it would be great to have a bathroom here. Actually, let's redesign it. Let's put the kitchen here. Let's put the bathroom here. Let's put the playroom over here. Right? You start to redesign the house. So the process of bina is a process of birur, of clarification, where you start off one way and then you change it. Hashem also changed his mind. Right? The Medrash says there were 974, right, doros, generations prior to the creation of the world. Or in the language of the Medrash, Hashem was bona olamos u'machrivan. Hashem built worlds and destroyed worlds. How about the fact that it says Bereshis bara Elokim? Hashem wanted to create a world of midas hadin, and then God saw, like Rashi says, it couldn't last, so Hashem switched from the Elokim track to the Hashem track. A God who is more understanding and more merciful, as opposed to a God who is just, you know, more strict and the midas hadin. Yeah.
Is there a reasoning why there were 974?
Why 974? Yeah, of course, there's a reason. Yeah. What's the gematria of sur meira? You know, the pasuk says sur meira va'aseh tov, right? Remove negativity. Sur is how much? 266. Meira, memresh ayin, is how much? 3/10. So how much is sur meira? 576. That's interesting. That's one more than Yetzer Hara. Okay, but that's not what I wanted to tell you. I just realized that now. Yitzhara is 575. So swear my right, get away from the Yitzhara. It's to be one more than the Yitzhara. That's interesting. Okay. How much is Asay Tov? Asay Tov. How much is Asay? 375. And Tov is 17. So how much is that? 392. Okay, so now let's put them together. How much is swear my right? Plus Asay Tov. So 576 and 392. That's how much?
968.
It is 968. So the Pasuk says, Sur Meirah, the Asay Tov. Okay, so now add six more for the Vav. So what do you got? 974. Okay? 974. So Chazal say there were 974 generations before Hashem created the world. I once saw from the Skolya Rebbe, he says, what's 974? 974 is Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov. Now let's just try to understand that based on what we're learning tonight. What does that mean? Sur Meira, distance yourself from negativity, Va'aseh Tov, and do good things. So again, I have this great idea for this house. What it's going to look like, I have all these wacky ideas. I have to clarify, I have to be mavarit. I have to sit down with an architect and say, architect will say to me, that's a terrible place to put a door. That's way off. Sur meira, that's a bad idea. Asay tov, make the door like this. That's a better idea. And then you thought you would have three bedrooms, but based on your, you know, based on your budget, you could get a fourth bedroom in, right? So the whole process of bina is again that clarification of sur meira va'aseh tov, sur meira va'aseh tov. Refine it, make it better, make it a little more. Make it into something a little a little bit more thought out. So when Hashem was creating the world, Hashem also went through this process, right? Again, whatever that means for God. It's obviously Hashem mimicking the process to teach us how we should be able to go through our lives. But Hashem in some way also mimicked this process of bona ulamos u'machrivan, the Medrash says. Hashem built worlds and destroyed worlds and built worlds and destroyed worlds. Rav Soloveitchik used to explain, the Rav once had a very famous explanation of that Medrash. Bona ulamos u'machrivan. Why did God make worlds and destroy them? God couldn't get it right the first time. It's the same process that Moshe is also mimicking when he builds the Mishkan and takes it apart and builds the Mishkan and takes it apart. I once saw an explanation that he's doing that to mimic creation because the Mishkan is a microcosm of creation. What was Hashem trying to say? So Rav Soloveitchik spoke about it from his own personal experience. The Rav said, you have to understand what it was like when I came to America and I was building the Maimonides school in Boston and I was trying to just teach American kids a little bit of Torah. And he said, there were two ways to kind of look at that experience. I could look at it as the most depressing thing in the world. Because the Rav said, I could think to myself, my grandfather was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker. Right? He said, the Rav said, I spent days in conversation with Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, the Gadol Hador. The Rav says, I stayed up full nights, all night long, talking to Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, about difficult passages in the Rambam. I met the most brilliant minds and the greatest tzaddikim. And then I came to America, and I'm trying to teach a little, 8-year-old American kid who's interested in the Red Sox to read a pasuk of Chumash with Rashi. And the Rav said he used to stop kids in the hallway and say to them, tell me, what are you learning? What's this week's parsha? And the kid knew, a little bit of Torah. Little kid, a little modern Orthodox American kid, So the Rav said, I could be very depressed by that. Or I could say, Hashem also, bona ulamos u'machrivan, that you have to embrace the world you're in. That's why God made a lot of worlds and destroyed them and then settled on the world that he settled on. To teach us, your world is going to change. Rav Soloveitchik said, I had a world when I was, a European Torah scholar, and I had a world when I was trying to mold American Jewry. And Hashem taught me, it's okay. Different worlds call for different things. There's a verse from the Sfas Emes that when Noach came out of the Teva and he drank wine and he got drunk, the Sfas Emes says, what's Noach's problem? He was too scared to rebuild the world. Chazal are so critical. Noach, you got yourself drunk? Hashem gives you a chance to rebuild all of humanity and you get drunk? So Sfas Emes said, it's a very important part. The Sfas Emes said, he didn't drink like an alcoholic. He drank a little bit of wine. It was the same amount of wine that he drank before the mabul and was perfectly fine. But what he didn't realize that after the mabul, the world had changed. The world had changed. What was an appropriate amount of wine in the, in the pre-mabul world, the whole world had changed. So sometimes people say, my grandparents thought this was appropriate. The world changed. Maybe what was appropriate for your grandparents is not appropriate in the world today, and vice versa. You have to know the metzias of your world. The chatzotros, the trumpets that were used to gather the Jewish people, right, had to be created new for each generation. So the Sfarim explained, what does it mean? Why the trumpets? Because the trumpets, again, the language of communication has to change from one generation to the next. The Torah is the same. But how I teach a kid Torah today is different than how we taught someone 20 years ago. Why? Because the world has changed. So the wine that Noah drank before the mabul and the wine that Noah drank after the mabul had a different effect on him because the world had changed. What was once, seen as not such a terrible thing in this new world would make him into a drunk. To a drunkard. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also went through a process of Chachma, Bina, and Das. Again, whatever that means on a divine, cosmic level, yeah.
What type of worlds he created?
What were those worlds? That's a great question. I have no idea. What did those worlds look like?
Is a tree.
I have no idea.
Were they generations or worlds?
So we have, good listening. I used both languages because we find both languages. All right, it talks about 974 generations. And then it talks about building worlds and destroying worlds. So some Sfarim kind of blur those two together. Others separate them a little bit more. But that was a... both. We find both. In Midrashim, we find both. It talks about Tav Kuf Ayin Dalid. That's 974. Doros. And then it also talks about Bona Olamos U'Machrivan, building and destroying worlds. But again, either way, the message, the reason Svarim kind of worked those two Mamari Chazal together is because there is a, you know, there's a common lesson in that. In that Hashem also went through a process, which means our world in some ways is the perfect world. You think like, wait a minute, like so all the other worlds you discarded and this was the one you kept? This Meshuggah world is the one you kept? Yeah. There's something very perfect about the world the way it is.
But no one lived those worlds, right? Like Adam still...
I don't know. Right. I guess so. Adam is the beginning of this world, I would think. Yeah, I don't know. I and, you know, Gerald Schroeder, Genesis and the Big Bang, and 6 days of creation versus millions of years, and when do the dinosaurs live? Which is like my daughter's favorite question. Okay. No, there's that meaning. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly how those worlds functioned and was there life in those worlds, and I don't know. It's hard to know. Yeah.
In the 6,000 year, it's gonna be everything over, no?
That's what the Gemara says in two places. That this the world as we know it is meant to last for 6,000 years.
And then,
Olam Haba, the world to come.
Forever,
for those who are worthy.
And then that's it.
No, that's it. After forever, what happens? Forever is forever. I don't know. That's it. Yeah, I guess that's it. I don't know. The Mishnah Chagiga says, don't think about these things too much. You make yourself crazy. What was before, what's after, what's above, what's below. A person has to live within his own Dalaramos, so to speak. Stay in our safe zone. Okay, let's keep going. Va'acher kach, next paragraph. Va'acher kach kishagamar hatzir b'daito. So when he completes the image, so now he has the blueprint. It started off as a raw idea. He expanded it into a very clear picture in his mind. So now that he's completed the picture in his mind, she'ab ba'ofen zeh, shenigmar uvar lo, that he wants it to actually be in this way. Here's what the house is going to look like. Lo ba'ofen acher, and he's rejected all of the earlier drafts of what it might look like, right? Not in this other way. Azai eino soser machshavto umamida. Now he no longer negates his thoughts, but now it's time to what? To establish it, ma'amida, to stand it up. Kavrishona shehevin ba'avana kach o kach, rak ma'amid machshavto al davar tzior echad v'davuk b'zeh tzior. This is the final picture. This is what it's going to look like. The picture of the house on paper is going to be reflected in what? In physical reality. I'm going to build this house. V'hu nikra das. And that's level 3. Chachma, the beginning of the idea. Bina, the clarification and expansion of the idea. Das, the solidification of the idea. And mamish, the formation, the creation of that idea. Ratzalomer lashon, this is what we find when Adam and Chava are intimate together and actually produce, in that case, children. The pasuk says, Vayeda Adam. Adam knew his wife. Lashon hiskashrus. Right? Obviously, the intimacy of a husband and wife is a very deep bond of connection. Physical and emotional connection. Hiskashros, attachment. Ratzalomer, shemitchila lo hayim mekusher bezeh. Initially, again, whether using the husband-wife model or the man-building-a-house model, initially he wasn't so deeply connected to it. Mivnei shahayim belibo pa'amim kein u'pa'amim lav kein. Because he was going through a process of maybe yes, maybe no. The same thing was true, by the way, with Adam and Chava. Right? Rashi says that Adam sized himself up against all the animals. Is this my mate? Is this my mate? Is this my mate? Is this my mate? Or for those who know the kids' book, are you my mother? Are you my mother? You know, trying to find the match. Until Adam says, ah, Chava. Ah, Isha. Right? Isha. She comes from Ish. There's a bond there. And he attached himself to her in a deep way. V'lo hayi toyodeya malasos. Originally, he didn't know what to do. Is who's for me? What's for me? V'lo hayi makusher klal hatzir b'daito. And the picture wasn't clear. Again, going back to the model of the house, he didn't know exactly what the house would look like. Aval acher kach hashiyesh yichud b'daito. But when he comes to an absolute oneness of thinking, again, the bond of husband and wife, even more so than obviously a man in his house, is one of absolute oneness. As nisiachta hachachma shalo bebina shalo al yedei hadas, he unifies the chachma with the bina, with the das. He puts it all together. Chachma, bina, vadas. He ties it all together. Okay. What's the gematria of chachma, bina, vadas? How much is chachma? 73. How much is bina? 67. Bina's gematria el, because bina has a lot to do with tshuva. Okay, and how much is vadas? Like we say, for those David Nusach Svar, chachma bina vadas. Right, 480. So what do we got? 480 plus 140 is? It's a good Jewish number. 480 plus 140 is?
630.
620. Right, 613 is a good Jewish number. Right, 620 is also a good Jewish number. 620 represents the 613 mitzvos of the Torah plus the 7 mitzvos derabanan. But also, 620 really means the highest term that we give to Hashem's expressions in this world, and that's Keser, right? Keser, the crown. So the mind, right, has Chachma and Bina and Das. These are three different levels of understanding, right? And when the head is fully formed, so to speak, with Chachma, Bina and Das, you can take an idea, you can expand it, you can make it happen, right? Such a person is mamish, worthy of wearing the crown, so to speak. So Chachma, Bina, Vadas is Gematria Keser. And a lot more to say about that, right? But it just shows it's the completion of an idea. Keser, again, is the starting point of the Sviros, of Hashem's interaction and expression in this world. Okay, so when a person's Miyache, when he ties together the original possibility of an idea with the expansion of the idea, with the solidification of the idea, the Ein Lo Rak Machshava Achas, to the point that it's just there's a oneness to it. There's just this one expression which is built again on the chachma and the bina. And now with that absolute oneness and that sense of purpose and mission and clear game plan, he's able to go and actually build the rooms of the house. Nimtza hadas hi gemar machshavta ushleimusa udvekus ha'adam ba. So what is das? Again, it's result oriented. It's reality, right? It's not abstract anywhere. It's a house you can actually live in. It's not just an idea. There's an absolute physical reality to it. And then with that sense of purpose and drive, he goes and he fills the rooms. He knows how to paint the walls. He knows how to lay the carpet. As the pasuk says in Mishlei, uvedas chadarim yimalu. With das, rooms are filled. Right? When a person has das, he can fill the room. He can decorate properly. He can give everything purpose. You know, like a real expert interior designer, where every little thing in the room has a purpose and has an expression, is trying to say something. Okay? Kacha ha'inyan misha rotza lidave gatsu v'ashem yisbach. So now, let's take it from the realm of husband and wife producing a child, or man building a house. Let's take it into the world of what? Our relationship with Hashem. Is our relationship with Hashem abstract, floaty, a fuzzy idea, or is it something concrete? Does it touch reality? So chachma, bina, das. We need to attach ourselves to Hashem. Chachma, bina, das. V'chachma ratzalomar. What's the chachma? Where's the starting point of my connection to Hashem? You know where it is? A Jewish child is born. You know where my starting point is? I'm born a Jew. Why am I a Jew? Because my parents were Jews. Why are my parents Jews? Because my grandparents were Jews. Chachma ratzalomar kabbalah me'avosav v'rabosav sheyesh alukim ba'olam. My rabbi told me, my parents told me, my grandparents told me, there's a God in the world. That's a very abstract idea. When I say to my son as he's eating his Cheerios in the morning, Yaakov, let's say a bracha to Hashem. And he knows Hashem. We talk about Hashem. He knows Hashem. But what does Hashem mean to him? Yaakov, where is Hashem? Who is Hashem? What does Hashem look like? Did you ever hear Hashem? Did you ever see Hashem? Right? It's a very fuzzy idea, this concept called Hashem. V'hu machshev es golem bilvad. Again, it's a raw idea. an unrefined, undeveloped, unprocessed is a good word, idea. Va'achar kach tzorach lahavin davar mitoch davar. So now I have to start applying Hashem to the real world. I'm sitting in Midtown Manhattan on a job interview because I want to become an investment banker. So now, okay, so let's talk about Hashem now. Yeah? Let's bring Hashem to the boardroom. Let's put Hashem at the table now. Bina. To be maven davar mitoch davar. What does that mean? Look how he explains it. It's beautiful. V'lachshov tamir b'havanaso eich sha'Hashem yisbarach mashkiach al kulam u'mechaye es kulam v'humamale kol ha'olamos. Now I have to start bringing Hashem. That is this fuzzy, abstract God somewhere out there. But I need to start maven davar mitoch davar. That every davar, everything that I see, do I see Hashem in it? Every experience that I have, do I see Hashem in it? In my most private moments, do I allow Hashem to be a part of it? V'zehu mechashev u'mevin, to contemplate and to understand. Mikol ma'asheroa ba'ola mevin ba'vanaso, u'mechashev shemuchrach lios kan kocho yisbarach shemo. Everything I see, Hal's New York seltzer water, lemon flavor that Jamie's drinking over there, yeah? Do I believe that Hashem is willing that bottle of seltzer into existence and moving those bubbles as we speak? V'zehu mevin davar, ratzolom, or dvar Hashem yisbarach, mitoch divrei ha'olam. Beautiful pshat. What did I tell you? How did this farm describe Bina? Bina is mevin davar, mitoch davar. So he gives a taitch to it now. He explains it. What davar am I deriving from what davar? I'm recognizing the dvar Hashem, the word of God, that fills the dvarim of the world. To hear the word of God in every davar, to hear the dibur of Hashem in everything. Divrei olam hazeh, the matters of this world. Do I find godliness and purpose, and do I see Hashem expressing Himself in every single item that I encounter in this world? Va'achar kach, so now I go a little bit further. So now it's not just what I can come up with an explanation of how Hashem is controlling the bubbles of Jamie Seltzer. Okay, that's one level. To be able to say a vart and to be able to stop and catch myself and to think about it and to apply it and say, where is the godliness in this? And how do I learn from this? And what's the lesson in this wooden table? And why did this happen? It's a madrega. But then, of course, we try to get to the level of what? Dveikus v'Hashem. And that's called das. The same way that Adam was what? Was davak v'ishto. V'yeda Adam. Right? Dveikus, his kashrus. The same thing is true with us and Hashem. And then when he has this image locked in, and he sees, wherever he looks, he sees Hashem. And he can't break away from it. Now there's a blueprint. He's invested in it. It's very clear to him what the house can look like. Because when he's still in the stage of Bina, he's still changing the blueprint. He's still touching it up. He hasn't built it yet. And unlike the house which he's living in, the blueprint, when he's looking at it, he sees all the dimensions of it. He's very focused on all the pieces of it. But when he rolls up the blueprint and he goes, you know, outside to walk his dog. So, what, Jews don't have dogs? He goes outside for a walk. Yeah? So now he's not thinking about it. The house, I mean, the house is his reality. So sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. But when he reaches this highest level called Das, right? Sometimes here he's still rak dvar machirim chas v'sham. His mind is wandering. But when he forces himself to really attach himself to it, v'gamar ma'od daito alzeh bevadai, nikrezeh Das. When he's so locked into Hashem that it's not possible for him. He doesn't have to work to try to find the, you know, what is Hashem saying to me? Where do I see God in this situation? How do I appreciate Hashem's hand in all of this? But when that becomes his natural place, that's where he's rooted, that's where he's attached to us. Shumakusher tamid bezeh, v'holich tamid bezeh, v'chol ma'asher roeh. Wherever he goes, he's attached to this idea. And anything that he sees, roeh tamid Hashem yisbarach, that's called das. K'moshe kasavti la'el v'mashol bigdei ha'isha. And I remind you again of his delicate mashal from Osiyad Beis, when a man who loves a woman sees a beautiful dress, right, on display in a window. I'm always shocked that he's, every time I say over this mashal, I'm shocked that he picked this mashal. But he's picking a, he He's picking a very sexual mashal because he knows that as human beings we have taivas and we can feel that. Right? So the girl that you love so much, or you're so attracted to, and you're always thinking about her. And now you walk past that department store and you see a beautiful blue dress in the window. Right? Immediately, you don't have to, there's no process of, blue dress, what does that remind me of? Immediately, you see the blue dress, immediately the woman fills the blue dress. In your mind, you see her in the dress. There's no thinking, you don't have to work on it, it's just, she's your whole world. You're obsessed with her, you're madly in love with her. So immediately, the dress immediately translated into that girl who you love in the dress. There's no process, you don't have to analyze the dress. It's instantaneous. So the goal is to reach such a level that everything in the world that I see, instantaneously I see God within it. I see Hashem in it. Okay, last two little paragraphs. And this comes about through what? Through hispashtus hagashmas. By freeing myself from what? From the physical trappings of that thing. When I'm stuck in the physical expression of the thing, when I like the seltzer for the seltzer's taste, and I like it because it quenches my thirst, right? So there's a lot of me and there's a lot of gashmias that's blocking me. Enjoy your seltzer. It's blocking me from seeing Hashem within it. But the more I'm able to strip away those layers and not play so much into the physical pleasure that I get from drinking the seltzer, because obviously these things are deeply connected. What does that mean? Right? Because the taivas pull me towards the pleasures of these things, velo yelo das, and that moves me away from das. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, kol mi she'ein bo das, asur rachim alav, lisof gola. A person who doesn't have das, you shouldn't have mercy on him, meaning the person's kind of a waste of your time, and in the end that person is going to be exiled. What does exiled mean in this context? Exile means having a superficial relationship with a bottle of seltzer. So you'll say, Moshe Tzvi, you're a weirdo. What does it mean to have a deep, intimate relationship with a bottle of seltzer? It means to see Hashem the second I look at the seltzer. I'm more interested in the bracha that I make on the drink than the drink itself. Remember the story? There was a great tzaddik who one time, one of his chassidim came to him and said, Rebbe, I see that you like to eat an apple in the morning for breakfast. So Rebbe says, yes. So the chassid said, I also like to eat an apple in the morning for breakfast. I think it was Rav Asher of Karlin, I think was who this story is with. Rav Aaron of Karlin? I think it was Rav Asher of Karlin. So one of the tzaddikim. So the chassid says, why are you the Rebbe and I'm just the chassid? You know? I mean, you're a human being. You enjoy a good juicy red apple. I enjoy a good juicy red apple. Like, who made you Rebbe and get all this kavod, you know? And I'm just a pashut of chassid in the crowd. So the Rebbe said, I'll tell you the difference between the two of us. He says, you eat the apple and I eat the apple. So he says to him, Yanku, you make a bracha when you eat the apple? Rebbe, of course I make a bracha when I eat the apple. So the Rebbe said, here's the difference between the two of us. You like apples. You enjoy apples. And you know, because you're a good Jew, that the only permission that God gives you to enjoy the apple is if you thank Hashem. How do we thank Hashem? How do we make it that we're not stealing the apple? We make a bracha. He says, I don't like apples so much. I like brachos. I want to make a bracha. But I can't just make a bracha without some context, right? So I make the bracha, right? I eat the apple in order to be able to make the bracha. He said, that's the difference between the two of us. You make the bracha because you want the apple. Right? I eat the apple because I want the bracha. That's the difference. So what do I see, right? I'm a good Jew. Of course I'm going to make a bracha when I drink the seltzer. But do I buy the seltzer because I'm more interested in the seltzer, and because I'm a good Jew, I'll also acknowledge Hashem and make a bracha? Or do I literally want to eat it the way tzaddikim eat? Because the food means nothing to me. The pleasure of the food, no temptation whatsoever. But I want to make a shahakol, I want to make a haetz. I need something to do that on. Right? So I'm more interested in the bracha than I am in the apple. That's what makes me the Rebbe, makes you the chassid. So what do you see? What do I see when I look at the world? Do I see physical things and then I work hard to try to see God? Or no. The world is Hashem. Everything in the world is an expression of Hashem. It's harder to see its physical form than it is to see the God within. Okay, that's a very high level. But that's das. And that's what he says. A person without das, what? In the end, is going to be exiled. Exile means he's going to be detached in a deep way from the godliness within everything. Okay, last four lines for tonight, last paragraph. It's a well-known pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. What does the pasuk say? Da es Elokei Avicha ve'avdehu. Know the God of your father and serve him. Ratzolomar, what does that mean? Da. What does it mean, da? Know the God of your father. Da. Shetehe mekusher alav b'daitecho esom. Attach yourself in your mind. Ratzolomar. Shetehe tamid davar zeh. That a constant in your mind that the whole world is filled with Hashem. I shouldn't have to work so hard to find God. People talk about seeking out God. What is seeking out God? I'm swimming in it right now. V'tachshov tamid bo. Think about Hashem constantly. And the more I think about Hashem, the more I make those connections, the more I make that blueprint real, and then from there I'm able to build the house, then Hashem's reality becomes attached to my heart, as if I'm seeing him be'inecha mamish, with my physical eyes. And that, my friends, is called hakara. That's called recognition. That's really recognizing Hashem. Knowing Hashem so well that I can, the second I look at anything, I see God. I see Hashem in it right away. I want to just add, because I think he's definitely hinting to it here, when he says, Da es Elokei Avicha, know the God of Avicha, of your father, let's just go back for half a second. Right? We said that Chachma is called Av, and Bina is called Aim. So what does it mean, know the God of your father? He told us in our relationship with Hashem, Chachma is what my parents taught me. Bina is the deepening of the idea, Das is attaching myself to the idea. So what the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is really telling us, Da es Elokei Avicha means what? Bring down to the level of Das Elokei Avicha. Elokei Avicha means Chachma. That's the starting point. What your parents told you about God, that little, whatever that conception was as a child about, you know, Hashem, somewhere out there. Take that Elokei Avicha, the God of your fathers, that world called Chachma, that drop of ink on a piece of paper, the beginning of an unrefined idea, and Da, and try to bring it to the level of Das. Deep, deep hiskashrus, dveikus, hakara, chibur. That's the avoda. Okay, so we should be zocha a little bit. Start training ourselves. Just try to, it starts with chachma, knowing it to be true, bina, working on trying to identify it, until it just becomes something that you're so attached to that you can't see it any other way. And you don't lose sight of it for a second. You never lose sight of Hashem. Shivisi Hashem l'naiti tamid. Okay? Shkoyach. Enjoy yourself.